Our reading is taken from the first book of Corinthians, chapter 13. If I speak in tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith so as to move mountains, but do not have love, I'm nothing. If I give away all my possessions to the poor and hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now, we see in a mirror dimly. But then, we shall see face to face. Now I know only in part. Then I will fully know, even as I've been fully known. And now, faith, hope, and love abide. These three, and the greatest of these is love.
Thank you, Gina. What is the overall theme of the New Testament summed up in one word? Yeah. Yes. And Jesus taught us how to love. Love, it's literally all about love. We're good here. Let's go have some soup and sandwiches and watch a football game. That's it. Oh, okay. One more thing. Why does Paul say if he spoke like an angel, if he had angelic sorts of soundings and phrases and had all knowledge and enough faith to move a mountain from here to there, and he gave away all he had to people who didn't have it, but didn't have love, he was nothing? How could that be? Well, simply it's this. If love is not the motivating power of an action, then something else is. If you give away something in hopes of perhaps a favor being returned, if you say nice things about someone in hopes that they will say nice things about you and put you to advantage, you get what I mean. Is the, and again, never a rhetorical question, what's more important, the motive behind the action or the action itself? I was really hoping for more answers than this. Because I struggled with this when I was going through this scripture. And man, oh man. I think the motive is primary. I think the motive is primary because with a good base of motivation, good action will almost always follow. But without that good base of motivation, some good action may follow, but it may be for ulterior motives or just blind, stupid luck. If truth be told, and I always try to tell the truth, a lot of religious activity takes place with the motivation of fear, of power, of prejudice, or pride. There, now I've said it. But it's true, isn't it? There is a lot of religious activity in this world that we know takes place because, and I'm not pointing, and sometimes that might even happen here. I hope not. I am really working on my love for all God's children all the time. You know where I fall down? And it happened again this morning. I'm never in a hurry, but I'm always in a hurry. You know what I mean? And so I was driving a little bit fast, and a pickup pulled out in front of me at what I deemed was too close. So instead of letting off the accelerator and letting him go, forgive me, I got up pretty close to him. And Mary Louise was a little bit distressed. And what did the driver of the pickup do? It would have almost been better had he done like that or stomped on his brakes or something. But he just, there was a passing or a turn lane there. He just pulled over into the turn lane to let me pass. Oh, man. If I had been stopped, the officer would have said, and why were you in such a hurry, Reverend Ivy? Officer, I was in a hurry to get to church so I could preach on love. Oh, gee. When religion does go bad, it's generally because love is not the base. The foundation or the source. Love does not produce bad religion. The lack of it does. So, if we had a confessional booth, I should go into it. Because I really felt bad after the guy pulled over. It taught me a valuable lesson. The question you might ask is, Wayne, just how long do you think that lesson will last? Like the gospel says, forgiveness may need to come 7 times or 70 times 7 times. Then Paul catalogs just what love consists of. Not eros, romantic love, not philia, love of kin and those close to us, but agape, the love that is a gift of God. Let's go through these. Let's go through these just to hear them again. Love is patient and kind. We are being taught And unfortunately, our children are also being taught in a lot of media that to succeed in life, you must be in their face. You must not give an inch. You must grab with all the gusto because no one is going to give you a thing. Have you seen that very subtle message in everything from advertisements to movies to... We even saw it on it. I watched an endless Saturday morning of children's shows yesterday. Our granddaughter was with us. And from 8 until noon, I didn't know, man, oh man. And about half of them, there were some really mean-spirited motives going on. Love is patient and kind. It's not envious or boastful. I think that is one of the areas that religion falls the farthest short, because we are envious and boastful in our religion. When I go to a minister's conference or there are a group of ministers, you know, what do you think the first question asked is? How big is your church? How many do you worship? And I generally say, oh, you know, 8, 9. You know, maybe a dozen sometimes. And that just kind of takes them off their game. I said, once it was just me and these two other guys. But what was the source of that? What was the source of the question? Was the source of the question, let me go back and look at this first one, patience and kindness? No. There was a na-na-na-na-poo-poo in there somewhere, wasn't there? So, let me give you, as church members whom I love, let me beg of you, when you talk to someone about their church, don't ask how big it is. If it's full of love, it does not matter. And then this next one. We have quite a bit of trouble with it. It does not insist on its own way. Okay, close your eyes. Everybody close your eyes. How many of you, close your eyes, don't make me. How many of you, more often than not, try to get your own way over someone else's way? Raise your hand. Boy, this is an honest bunch. Yeah, I would say, you know, 2/3. Okay, now you can open your eyes. 2/3 of you raised your hand. And we did, because, I mean, that is part of being human, is wanting our own way. I mean, that's what got us to the top of the food chain, isn't it? Grasping and wanting our own way. That is a very hard one. Love does not insist on its own way. Love always takes a step back. And it's not irritable or resentful. It never rejoices in the wrongdoing, but rejoices, in this translation, in truth. Bears, believes, hopes, endures all things. Love never ends. That is our task here at FCCC. To believe, to live, and to tell the good news of God's love. That's all we have to do. It can get messy sometimes. It can get difficult sometimes. But it is always worth it. Always worth it. Worth it. Think about Paul's description as it relates to the church. Patience and kindness. Y'all on a regular basis have to work with extreme patience in the way I do ministry here. I understand that. As one of my friends told me, Wayne, you realize you're an acquired taste, right? Y'all have been so good to us in that. And you know what that goodness does? It allows us the freedom to both fail and succeed. For without that freedom, we would never feel comfortable enough to try. Not envious or boastful, no. Small churches envy big churches. Big churches boast to small churches. And we are all just attempting to live out God's command to love one another. Irritable or resentful. If you come, I almost dare you to try to come to this church cranky and leave crankier. This is the best bunch of people to cheer one up that I have ever been around. And I'm being entirely truthful in that. Endures. Did you know FCCC is 85 years and counting. This congregation, 85 years and counting. Question. Will this church congregation be here 85 years from now? Whose responsibility is that? Is it the responsibility of those people 75 years out? No. It's yours and mine to lay that foundation. And what must the foundation be built on? Christ's love. Do you believe in the good news of God's love and that God is love? Do you believe that? Do you try to live your life by that knowledge, knowing there will be slip-ups? Do you try to live your life like that? Do you tell others about the good news that you try to live by? Do you do that? We've still got work to do. A lot of work to do. And spreading God's love is the basis of that work. We're going to start doing some planning sessions and not dry planning sessions, but fun, alive, noisy planning sessions, and see where to from here. Amen.